produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Very, very warm greetings again, beloveds. This is Pearl Coupe, and I'm here on our weekly radio program, and I'm so blessed to, as always, have the opportunity to talk to God's people, share God's word, because that's the best word that we can ever read is God's word. There's so many books out there that we read and so many magazines, but the best thing that we can ever do, the greatest favor we can ever do, is to actually read God's word. And so once again, it's a very great privilege to be able to share with you today on our weekly program. And I just want to be able to say that we had an amazing, awesome time last time. We started off a two-part series. I wanted to do a two-part series on the power of the tongue. When we look at the times that we're in right now, there's so much being said, and even in the news, there's a lot of news out there. Much of the news is fake news, and some of that news influences us to say things that are false or things that we should not be saying. There are things that stir up our emotions, provoke our emotions, and as a result, we say things that we shouldn't say. And so last week, we started a two-part series on the power of the tongue. And this week, I'll be dealing with the second part of the power of the tongue. And what we talked about last week, we used James 3, verses 3 to 6, in terms of defining the power of the tongue. And we talked about, you know, the tongue, although it looks like a small member, we talked about the great potential it has to do harm or to bring out blessings. So we talked about that, and we talked also about death and life being in the power of the tongue. And that scripture we took, of course, the first one was from James 3, verses 3 to 6, where the tongue was likened to, you know, the rudder of a ship. The tongue was likened to that bit that goes into a horse's mouth to control the horse, the direction of the horse. And we talked about how the tongue has capacity to set things on fire, like a, you know, a whole forest. And Proverbs 18:21, we then went into that, talking about still the power of the tongue and how death and life are in the power of the tongue. And another scripture which we used to again demonstrate the immense and the great power that is in the tongue is Matthew 18:18, which talks about how, you know, we've been given the power to bind on earth. Whatever we bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever we loose on earth shall also be loosed in heaven. So we talked about making sure that whatever we loose and bind using our tongue, we must make sure that it's aligned to the will of God. And again, still illustrating the aspect of the power of the tongue, we went to Job 38:2, the scripture where God was now speaking to Job and having a conversation with him and reminding him again of the power of the tongue and saying to him in this particular verse that, Job, have you commanded the morning since your days began and caused the dawn to know its place? So God was reminding him that, listen, as a son of God, creation is waiting on you, earnestly groaning in earnest expectation, waiting on you to command it. And so as sons of God, we are expected to use the power that is in our tongues, the power to bring life or bring death, to bring and align even creation according to its redemptive purpose and ordained purpose in God. And so last week we closed out also the first part of the series by talking about how we use our tongues and being careful in terms of how we use our tongues. And the scripture there, in that scripture, we were reminded of James 3 verses 9 to 12 and how we use our tongue when we worship and we go to services, and that tongue praises God and gives honor to God and blesses God and worships God. And that same tongue, sometimes when we leave the service, barely 2 hours later, we're using that same tongue to hurl insults at our brothers and sisters, to humiliate other people, to, you know, do all sorts of things, to curse people. And in the scripture, in James 3, verses 9 to 12, we were being reminded that let us use our tongue appropriately. Let us use our tongue according to the principles and the precepts of God. And we can't just praise God in one moment and then in the next moment be using the same tongue to curse and insult our brothers and our sisters. And that scripture asked us the question, can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? So I now want to just get into part two of the power of the tongue. I believe it's extremely important, especially in this prophetic season that we're in, as I did remind us last week in our sharing, that this decade of in the year, the Hebraic or the Hebrew calendar of 5780, in this decade, that this is the decade that has been talked prophetically as pay. The decade of pay, P-E-Y, which in Hebrew signifies the mouth, is a prophetic sign for the mouth. So it is of extreme importance. What we say in this season is of extreme importance. It has the capacity to destroy. It has the capacity to build. It has the capacity to release life or to kill. So we must be very careful. And so today I want to talk about the consequences. What happens when we fail to take control of our tongues? What happens when we fail to meditate and think about what we're going to say, and we just release and talk randomly and talk, you know, things and say things carelessly and negligently? What are the possible consequences to us? And also, what are the possible consequences to others? Because there are consequences that come with careless talk, with negligent talk, with loose talk, with random talk. And I first want to start off by looking at some scriptures that will give us direction in terms of some of the consequences that now we ourselves can reap in terms of going forward, in terms of going forward. So one of the consequences that we can reap going forward, the consequences for us. Proverbs, let's start with Proverbs 13, verse 3. Proverbs 13, verse 3. And Proverbs 13, verse 3 says, "Whoever guards his mouth preserves his life. He who opens wide his lips comes to ruin." So that clearly gives us an obligation and a responsibility to guard our mouth. To guard our mouth. So we can't just speak recklessly. We have to speak, with thought. We have to meditate. We have to understand the implications of what we might be able, what we might be saying, and the negative implications. Because once you've said something, you know, you cannot take that back. And the word guard, let's look at the meaning of the word guard, because we're told to guard our tongue, guard our mouth. So the guard means to protect against damage or harm. To guard means to watch over in order to protect or control. So we have to watch over our mouths. We have to watch over our lips. We have to watch over our tongue. Whoever guards, watches over, and protects that mouth, that means we are preserving our own life. And whoever opens up their lips just wide and just careless talk comes from those mouths, you are potentially opening up your life to ruin, to ruin. When we talk carelessly, when we talk anyhow, when we repeat false information, when we gossip about people and talk slanderous things, potentially we are opening up our lives to ruin, to ruin. And do remember, like I say, that once you have actually, you know, released words out there, it's even if you apologize, even in the event that you find out that you you said something that was not true, or you hurt or you wounded somebody, it's very difficult to take that statement back. I remember years and years ago, I think about 30 years ago, hearing a story about a woman, and it was like a parable, kind of a modern day parable. And the parable went as follows, and I just want to share it with you right now. The parable was this: an account that there was in a certain town, there was a young lady who just decided to, you know, be very slanderous towards an old woman. There was an old woman and a young woman living in the same town. And this young lady just took it upon herself to begin to start talking and spreading rumors and false rumors and all these negative stories about this poor old woman. And these stories were carried around. They went around in town and they went from house to house. And they were spread, and people heard them, and many people believed them. And after doing this for some time, this young lady one day was convicted. She was convicted in her heart that what I've been doing is wrong. I really need to go and apologize. And the story or the parable goes as follows, to say that this young lady then went to this old woman's house, and she knocked on her door, and the old lady opened the door and found this young lady, the same young lady who had been, you know, just gossiping about her, slandering her. And she spoke to her, you know, she told her, come in, you know, yes, how can I help you? And this young lady now started to apologize. And she said to her, listen, I just feel very bad. I've been telling untruths about you. I've been telling lies about you. And this morning I woke up and I just felt very bad, and I'm just convicted, and I want to come. I just felt I had to come and apologize to you for all this, you know, wrong behavior, wicked behavior that I've shown to you. And the story continues to say that this old lady didn't say anything at that point, but she went to her bedroom, and after she went to her bedroom, the story says that she took a pillowcase. She took a pillowcase, and in that pillowcase, she now put a lot of feathers. You know, the pillows have feathers and stuff like that. She put a whole lot of, collected a lot of feathers, put those feathers in the pillowcase, and then took the young girl by hand, went outside, and she opened the pillowcase, and there was a wind that came and just blew those feathers. As she opened the pillowcase, the feathers all went out, and they blew all the feathers out there. And the feathers, you know, wind carried some of the feathers very far out there, except, and then after that, the old lady, after doing that, she said to the young lady, she said, take this pillowcase. Now go and collect every one of those feathers that has gone out there. Can you collect them and bring them all back? And so the young lady went, did her best to try and collect. She got one, two feathers, three feathers, a few feathers, but clearly she was not able to fill the pillowcase in the same manner that it was filled initially. She was not able to collect all the feathers. And she brought the few little feathers that she could find, because the wind had carried most of the feathers away. And she said to the old lady, she apologized again. She said, I'm sorry, I couldn't collect all the feathers. I only was able to take a few of the feathers because the wind carried them all away. And this is what the old lady said to this young lady. She said, yes, my dear, this was a practical lesson, because I wanted you to know that your words are like these feathers. And in the same way that you could not collect and bring back and collect all the words that you, all the feathers that you released out there, in the same manner, you're not able to collect all the words, all the negativity, all those words that you've released out there, you're not going to be able to collect them back. So in as much as I appreciate your apology and I receive your apology, I wanted you to know that words, when they go out there, they're hurtful. They can't be taken back. They leave some damage. The wind takes them. The wind carries them. The wind blows them. And, you know, some of those words, that those words can never be taken back. So it's an important lesson, that parable, to let us know that once words have gone out there and they've been heard, they leave a certain footprint. You can't take them back. All we can do is apologize and trust God for forgiveness, and you know, but remember that the words cannot be taken back. We just have to pray and trust God for grace to remove, for that God will have enough grace to remove the impact of those terrible words, those wounding words, that God would heal the hearts, the broken hearts of any hearts that have been broken by those words. May he heal those hearts. So that's a parable that I remember from many, many years ago, and I hope that it speaks to you in this time, and I hope that it also influences you positively to really reflect on what you and I say before we just, you know, randomly jump out and say things which are potentially very damaging and very destructive, not just to an individual, but potentially can destroy a whole family or a whole community or nations even. Yeah. So still talking about consequences for us, let's move on to the next scripture. 1 Peter 3:9 says, "Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing." So just remember, beloveds, that our mouths carry the power of life and death. And just because somebody has insulted you, just because somebody has you know, humiliated you, that is not justification. It's not grounds for you to insult them back. It's not grounds for you to insult them back. If you do, you may be potentially, blocking your own blessing. So whatever is said to you, you know, whatever you hear about yourself, do not repay that evil with the same evil or with an insult with an insult. Repay evil with a blessing. Use the power of your tongue to bless your enemies. That's what the Bible tells us. That's what Jesus said is the proper approach and protocol. He said is to love your enemies, not to pray fire against them and back to sender prayers, but to love your enemies and to pray for them is the instruction that Jesus left with us. So pray for them. And when you and I do this, it says that we will inherit a blessing. We will inherit a blessing. So the Lord, may the Lord just give you grace to be able to do that and to be able to speak blessing even when somebody else has spoken curses over you. May you not fall into that trap, but may you speak a blessing over them. And Matthew 15:18 says, "But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this defiles a person." So what Matthew 15:18 is essentially telling us is that, you know, like Proverbs 13:3 said, guard your mouth. And when you guard your mouth, you preserve your life and you make sure that you don't come to ruin. Well, Proverbs 15:18 is going a step further. It's saying, don't just guard your mouth, but guard your heart, because what comes out of your mouth is actually coming from the heart. So in other words, we don't only have a responsibility to guard our mouths, but we must also guard our hearts, because what comes into our hearts defiles a person. It defiles what and now negatively influences what comes out of your mouth. So let's make sure to guard our hearts even as we guard our mouths. And as we do so, that's what will enable us now to be able to bless those that curse us, to be able to pray for those that hate us and are trying by all means to sabotage us in every way. Now, another very powerful scripture comes from Matthew 12:36 and 37. We'll read from Matthew 12:36 and 37, both very powerful scriptures, which really will remind us on the implications, the consequences for us if we do not guard our lips. Matthew 12:36 says, "I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak." And 37 says, "For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned." So of extreme importance, beloved, that, you know, what you and I will not be on this earth forever. There's a day that we will have run our race, finished our race, and be called now to transition, to be with our Father. And there's a day that all of us will give an accounting on Judgment Day. And part of that accounting includes accounting for all the words that we say, the careless words that we say. And so It's very important that we meditate on those words and understand that, you know, let's make sure that we will not have to give an account for all the negative, careless, irresponsible words that we've released, that we've said out there. So I pray that you and I will be able to give a good account of what we have said. Words have a way of impacting relationships. And some of the words we say can either build our relationships or they can actually separate us from loved ones, from our destiny helpers, from people who God had, you know, strategically positioned as people who were to help us in specific areas of our lives. So we have to be very careful again and to guard our tongues, because if we don't guard our tongues, we can lose relationships that God had strategically and specifically assigned to us for our benefit, so that we may be able to fulfill kingdom purpose and the kingdom agenda. So Proverbs 18:19 says this: a brother who has been insulted is harder to win back than a walled city. An argument separate people like the barred gates of a palace. So we have to be very, very careful. It's even though we're all brothers and sisters, let us be mindful that we don't go around just carelessly speaking. And you know, sometimes I know that sometimes we think that we are correcting or speaking the truth. Let me say a word on this around truth, because truth, sometimes we offend people in the name of speaking truth. And beloveds, I want to say this. Are we supposed to compromise truth? No, we're not supposed to compromise truth. We are supposed to speak truth, because the Bible tells us that truth will set free. You know, the truth will set you free. So we're not supposed to compromise truth. However, speaking truth does not mean blurting it out in anyhow. It does not mean just saying it in any careless way, where maybe that truth, you blurt out a truth in a way that it humiliates, in a way that it's condescending, in a way that it's patronizing, in a way that maybe it depresses somebody, in a way that, you know, it just hurts them and offends them. When we speak truth, that truth is always supposed to be spoken from a place of love. So correction must be connected to love. The Bible also tells us that God, those whom he loves, he chastises. So we should never think of rebuke or correction as a lack of love. In fact, when God loves you, he will chastise you if you're out of line. He will rebuke you. He will discipline you if you are out of line. Why? Because if he doesn't, you are going to be that child. Have you ever seen a child who puts their hand in the fire? And if you allow that child to put their hand in the fire, then they're going to get burnt, badly burnt, and it can scar them for life. So because God doesn't want you to be that child who will be scarred for life and badly damaged by doing what you're not supposed to do, he rebukes us, he chastises us, he disciplines us, so to make sure that our lives are preserved. And so correction and truth spoken in love is wonderful, but truth spoken just to humiliate, or truth just to show how much you know in terms of knowledge, that, oh, I know so much, that is a very dangerous truth. So we cannot speak truth just to humiliate or to show that we know more, our knowledge is more than others. We speak truth from a perspective and a point of love. So let's be careful of just offending our brothers as we speak truth to them. May God give you grace to speak that truth from a place of love, and that they will be able to hear that love and know that you are bringing correction because you love them, not because you want to, you know, look better than them or try and make them look like they're nothing and they're nobodies. So may God give us that grace to speak truth, but to speak it from a place of love, to speak it from a place of warmth, to speak it to build, to speak it to edify, to speak it to provoke and accelerate them to align with their purpose, and not to speak it so that, you know, we will destroy or crush them in any way. So that is Proverbs 18:19. May God give us that grace to be able to, you know, guard our tongues to such a degree that now we do not offend or insult our brothers and our sisters, because when we do so, it's harder to win those brothers and those sisters back than it is. You know, one version says a fortress. So they build a wall, you know, because of the hurt that they've experienced by your words. They build a wall, and now you have to scale that wall to try and get back into relationship with them. And it says, arguments separate people like the barred gates of a palace. So may God give us grace to guard our mouths, guard our hearts, so that that also consequently will lead to our guarding our relationships in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. So I want to close out this session in our last 3 minutes just by quickly talking about consequences for others, because if we fail to control our tongue, it not only carries implications and consequences for ourselves, but also consequences for others, for others. So Ephesians 4:29 says, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. May give grace to those who hear. So that's very, very powerful in terms of understanding that what we speak can corrupt others. So it's talking about let no corrupting talk. So what we speak not only carries consequence for us, but it can corrupt others. If we go around speaking lies and, you know, defaming others and slandering others, you can corrupt others against other people. I know myself, I've had people talk, oh, so many things, lies, really slanderous things, lies or half-truths, because sometimes, you know, there may be aspects of truth in something, but somebody has omitted something, has omitted some key parts of the conversation, which now gives a different slant to the story and now gives a different perspective. So, you know, when you do that, it's still misleading. When you tell the truth, you must tell the whole truth, not portions of truth that now give a different perspective. And I know, like I say, and I'm sure all of us can have a testimony around how some of our friends and some of our relationships have been corrupted simply because people spoke corrupting talk that influenced some key relationships and friends in a negative way. So let us make sure that we take control of our tongues and we don't allow corrupting talk to come out, but what we speak is good for building up, and that it gives grace to those who hear. So when we speak and edify others, it gives them grace. It gives those who are in the within the hearing realm, it gives them grace also. Amen. And it doesn't corrupt them. It doesn't pervert their minds. It doesn't damage them in any way. So Proverbs 26:20 also talks about gossip. It says, without wood, a fire will go out. And without gossip, quarreling will stop. Well, did you know that some of the things that we have said have caused quarrels and have actually broken relationships? Are you aware of that? And there's an accountability to that. So let's not speak carelessly. Let's not put wood to fires. If you're hearing certain rumors and out there, don't add your own 2 cents and build up that rumor. But be sure, be accountable, be sure to not let corrupt talk come out of your mouth, but build up. And where possible, stop any negative rumors or rumors that you know to be untrue. You have an obligation and a responsibility to stop that. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 16:24, last two scriptures, kind words are like honey, sweet to the soul and healthy for the body. May God give us grace to release kind words that are like honey, that will sweeten the souls of those around us and bring health to our bodies and the bodies of those who are around us and who hear it. And the last scripture, Colossians 4 verse 6, let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each person. That's my prayer for you and I this week, that our speech will be gracious and always salty, because salt brings healing. Salt, you know, it brings relevance, all of that. So whatever comes out of your mouth, may it be healing, may it be edifying, may it be tasty. Salt is tasty. May it be relevant. All those things that have to do with salt. May God help us to bring out gracious speech, which has been seasoned with salt. And may He help us know how to answer, how we ought to answer each person. I love you with the love of the Lord. It's been another great time and another great session. I look forward to being with you next week again. Blessings and love.
produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
Good morning, SKM Shimikoti Ministries International Radio Network with Apostle Josh Moyo from Western Australia on our Western Standard Time, bringing you the word of the Lord. And on this topic, to be led by the Spirit of God. One of the highest desires in life, one of the highest appealings that I would like to encourage everybody in these days we're living in, it is to learn the secret of being led by the Spirit of God. I'm sure you agree with me that after the coronavirus pandemic in 2020, there's been a running up and down, helter-skelter, people trying to find out what is God saying or what is my zodiac saying, what is whether you're visiting the clairvoyance or New Age or fortune-telling. People have been running up and down, not knowing exactly who to consult and what to look for. For you and I, as God's people, we thank God because we have been given a roadmap by which we can understand what the will of God is. Psalms 23 and verse 4, the Bible says, He will lead me in the pathway of righteousness for His name's sake. It's important for us to know that God's children, we are led in the path of righteousness for His name's sake. And I want to use that scripture and I want to use the core foundation of it, Romans chapter 8 and verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, those are children of God. Now, when you look at that verse, when you look at that chapter, Romans chapter 8, the words of the Apostle Paul, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the children of God. It is imperative that you and I understand what is the leading of the Word of God in our lives. So, ladies and gentlemen, let's go together into what God has given us as we see what the Word of God says. Life is a series of starts and stops. Life is a series of starts and stops. There are times where we have to stop, and there are times we have to start all over again. Your life, right from the time when you were born to the time to where you are right now, no matter how old you are, you will find out it has not been a smooth way that goes on and on and on and on and on. It is a series of starts and stops. A series of starts and stops. So what I want us to do right now, I want us to look at what the Word of God teaches us as far as being led by the Spirit of the living God. Remember, Romans 8 and verse 14 is our foundational text. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are children of God. If this is what the Bible wants me to embrace and to understand, that I am a child of God, determined by how much of my life am I prepared to be led by His Spirit. So it becomes one of the most key and pivotal things in life. If I want, therefore, to be led by the Spirit of God, I'm going to give you a few things that I believe are very critical in our lives. To be led by the Spirit of God, therefore, I will need first and foremost to be careful that I won't allow culture, the world's value system around me, to be my guide. I repeat. Number one, if Paul is alluding to the fact that in order for me to be led by the Spirit of God, then that's a determination that I am a child of God. My being a child of God is determined by how much I am prepared to be led by His Spirit. So allow me therefore to give you what I call the five not to. Number one, not to. If I'm going to be led by the Spirit of God, I need to be careful that I am not led by the culture, by the world's value system surround me. Ask yourself that question. What is in the culture surrounding you that seems to be leading your life? Is it mob psychology? Are you led by the fashions of this world around you? Are you allowing yourself the culture to determine the course of your life? Are you the type of a Christian? Everything goes as everyone is creating that pattern. It is a common phenomenon where you hear people say, when in Rome, do as the Romans do. Are you led, or are you allowing yourself to be led by the culture, the value system that is surrounding you? You wear what they wear, you do as they do. So be careful not to allow the culture around you to set the pattern if you're going to be led by the Spirit of God. Romans 8 verse 4 in our text. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the children of God. Number two, not two. To be led by the Spirit of God, I need to be careful not to follow the friends that do not follow the God I serve. Watch the way that I have said it. Friendship with the world, the Bible says, it's enmity with God. Romans 12 verse 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourself as living sacrifices before God. But then he goes on to say, once again, Apostle Paul, he says, do not conform yourselves to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds by the word of God. I cannot be led by the Spirit of God if I allow the friends around me who do not follow God. That's the catalyst there. Friends around me. There are a lot of Christians who seek counsel and guidance for their future, for their destiny, for their tomorrow, from friends who are not following God. I know a lot of Christians who have deviated from that which God had given and intended for their lives because of peer pressure, because of following the worldly friends which do not follow God's pattern for our lives. What are we saying? Let's put a balance there. You see, every child of God, you are supposed to love all people. You are supposed to love even the unlovable. You are supposed to love even the worldly friends. But watch the difference. You are not supposed to allow their value system to be your guide, because their source of inspiration, their source of guidance is not the same as your source of guidance. So what that means is, I can love my friends, but the desire is for me to be an influence over their lives and not vice versa. There are two gadgets that we know that we use in our everyday life. One is called a thermometer. The other one is called a thermostat. A thermostat regulates the heat and regulates the cold. But a thermometer measures the temperatures of what is without changing the environment around it. God's desire for you and I is to make sure that we are not thermometers who just take, which measure the temperature of what is surrounding us. The desire of God in our lives is to be like thermostats so that we can regulate that which God has called us to be. The Bible says in 1 John 2 verse 15, don't love the world. What does that mean? Because the same John who says not to love the world and everything that is within it, he also says in John 3 verse 16, for God so loved the world. So where do we go with this? It's important, ladies and gentlemen, that you understand 1 John 2 verse 15, love not the world, is not talking about the people. It's talking about the world system, the value system. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, talks about the people. So we are called by God to love the people and hate the world's value system. If you and I are going to be led by God, if you and I are going to be led by God, we need to understand that we need to be led by the Spirit of God. And in order for us to be led by the Spirit of God, we need to be careful that we are not led by the value system of the world, but we are led by the Spirit of God. That is the second thing that is very, very crucial into our lives. But number three, in order for us to be led by God, we cannot allow our feelings to lead us. If we're going to be led by God, don't allow your feelings. You see, your feelings are unreliable. Your feelings go up and down. Your feelings should always be checkered by the Word of God. Because if you allow your feelings to lead you, your feelings can mislead you. Because today your feelings, you might feel like praying, but if you follow your feelings, sometime tomorrow you're going to feel like sleeping. You'll feel like doing something else. Your feelings are not a standard of measure for you to be led by the Spirit of the living God. Many, many, many people, they felt like doing things. You know the story of how David was tempted and ended up taking Bathsheba, Uriah's wife. He saw the poor woman taking a bath on the housetop. Felt good in his flesh watching Bathsheba taking a bath. And he thought, husband is at war. I'm at home. Beautiful woman. I feel like having her. The feelings that produced the lust in his life led him to take Uriah's wife, somebody's wife, and slept with her. One thing led to the other. Killed Uriah through an instruction he had given. Feelings are not a good reliance upon if you're going to be led by the Spirit of the living God. Ladies and gentlemen, in order for you and I to be led by the Spirit of God, we cannot allow our feelings to be a reliable source to be led by God. Number four, in order for you and I to be led by the Spirit of God, remember Romans 8 verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are children of God. We cannot allow our circumstances to be our final authority. If we're going to be led by the Spirit of God, to be led by the Spirit of God, cannot allow our circumstances to play a center stage in doing the will of God. Acts chapter 27, verse 10 and verse 13 to verse 15 allude to the point when 276 prisoners and Paul is among the prisoners. They are sailing, going to Rome. Paul, an angel, appeared to him at night to warn the captain of the ship and their crew that if they had left, the journey was going to be stormy. There will be a loss of lives, loss of luggage. So he warned the captain that the journey was going to be dangerous. The voyage was going to be tumultuous. But listen to what the Bible says. When a soft breeze, circumstances. If you ever found yourself encountered by soft, gentle breeze, at that time, many of us are quick to say, God must be in it. A soft, gentle breeze. And you think, God must be in it. Circumstances that are not checkered by the authority of the word of God can mislead you. The Bible says, when they followed the gentle breeze, the captain ignored what Paul had said, and they followed the gentle breeze into a storm. Many lives, and the ship was destroyed. It did not been of God who spared all the prisoners on board. The whole ship was broken in pieces. Circumstances are not the final authority to be led by God. You should always check your circumstances with the word of God. You want another situation? Jonah. God spoke to him clearly, Nineveh, to preach the word. Circumstances. You find himself going down to Joppa. Found a ship, bought a ticket. Circumstances. There was a space. Bought a ticket, got a seat. Circumstances. Went and sat under, below the deck of the ship. Everything was perfect. The guards came about looking for the ticket. Everything was fine. Jonah was happy. He wasn't going to Nineveh. He was now going to Tarshish. Circumstances. Halfway through the trip, God was calling him. Cost the sailors their luggage, their baggage, their important stuff into the sea because of one man. Circumstances. Ladies and gentlemen, it is important that we understand that if we're going to be led by God, number one, you can't allow your culture to dictate if you're going to be led by the Spirit of God. Number two, you can't allow your friends that do not follow God. Who are you listening to as far as your destiny, your future, and your tomorrow is concerned? Number three, you can't allow your feelings. They are unreliable. You feel cold today, you feel hot tomorrow. You feel good today, you feel rough tomorrow. Your feelings need to be checkered by the will of God. The Bible says, as many as are led, not as many as feel, as many as are led. Your feelings are unreliable. But number four, we found out as well, you cannot be led by the Spirit of God if you allow your circumstances to lead you into the will of God. Romans chapter 8, verse 14. Our listeners, this is where we are at. We are going around with that scriptural foundation. For as many as are led by the Spirit, I'm sure there are many of you today that says, I need God's direction for my life. I've lost my job. Some of you, you have lost your families. For some of you, you have been cut down at work. For some of you, you have been made redundant. You are looking right now, what are my options? Listen to me. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, God's Spirit desires to lead you into marriage, desires to lead you into getting a new opportunity, desires to lead you in getting a job, desires to lead you in the direction for your children, for your sons, for your daughter, for your finances. There are many voices. Ladies and gentlemen, hear me and hear me well. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are children of God. I want to be there. I want to be there. I want to be that one that will not follow the voice of my culture, the voice of my friends that do not follow God, the voice of my feelings, the voice of my circumstances. But lastly, if you're going to be led by God, do not follow other sources that do not derive their authority from God. You can think this seems to be the same, but it's not the same. You cannot follow and look to other sources other than God. What are other sources? I am shocked to see that in the world we are living here today, many Christians, some, if not most of us, find guidance from zodiacs, find our guidance about a tomorrow, fortune telling. Many Christians would rather find guidance about the tomorrow from horoscopes. My star is Aries. My star is Cancer. My star is Virgo. Christians find meaning and destiny from horoscopes. The devil is a liar. You cannot be led by the Spirit of God if your sources is into clairvoyance, into fortune telling, into palm reading, tarot cards. There is a one word for all those mediums that I've given you right now. And that word is divination. Deuteronomy chapter 18. God warns his people not to consult the dead, not to consult the spirits, not to consult sciences and Scientology, not to consult the witches. You and I, as a child of God, God's people, we need to be led by the Spirit of the living God. Ladies and gentlemen, this was the voice of Apostle Josh Moyo on SKM Shimikoti Ministries Radio Network, as we brought you the element of the Word of God in these days that we're living in. In the days of COVID-19, may you get these five major things, areas, categories, not two, if you're going to be led by the Spirit of God. Remember, David says, he leads me in the pathway of righteousness for his name's sake. God's desire is to lead you, and his leadership is always to the right place at the right time. There might be pain sometimes when you follow the leading of God's Spirit, but there's always, it's always ending to be good for you. May God bless you. Thrive in him, knowing very well he has begun a good work in you, and he will lead you to eternity in Jesus' mighty name. This was the voice of Apostle Josh Moyo from Western Australia on a Western Standard Time, bringing you the voice of destiny, empowered for your destiny. God bless you. Bye.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. Or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll free, USA. 1-347-850-8560. Toll free, international callers. 1-888-201-5313.